So who am I? Well, some of you don't know me, so I thought I'd take a few minutes just to explain this. I'm the husband of Sally, the father of 19-year-old Matthew, 16-year-old Christopher, and 14, going on 20-year-old Polly. I'm a foreigner from the state of Queensland, where I did my general practice training and then specialised in public health. I then went to Cambodia, which is actually where I met Sally. Sally's English. We then went to the UK, returned to Australia, where Matthew and Christopher were born, went back to Cambodia, where we adopted Polly, and then in 2007 returned from Cambodia to South Australia, which is where we've been ever since. So I'm now a public health physician. I work for SA Health in their Communicable Diseases Control branch, a bit of a mouthful, but also coordinate an international health and development short course in the summer. So this is the fourth of the seasons of creation: planet Earth, humanity, Sky Sunday, and now Mountain Sunday. And I'm going to take as a theme text, a little bit out of context, but I think you'll appreciate it, the reading from Isaiah. You'll recall in verse 17, the prophet says, "For I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth." And I'm going to focus on verse 20, which says, "No more shall there be in it," the New Jerusalem, "an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime." So a health focus. So I'm a member of an organisation called Doctors for the Environment Australia, DEA, not the Drug Enforcement Agency in the United States, as my son likes to point out to me. We're a voluntary organisation of medical doctors and medical students in all states and territories. We work to address the diseases, local, regional and national, and global, caused by damage to the environment. The medical profession has a proud record of service to the community. We aim to use our scientific and medical skills to educate governments, industry, the public, our colleagues, by developing educational material and direct contact to highlight the medical importance of our natural environment. The Doctors for the Environment is not party political, and nor am I a member of any political party. And for me, the credibility of this organisation was really established through the list of names of people on their scientific advisory committee, and I'm going to name drop a few because some of the names you will recognise. Professor Peter Doherty won the Nobel Prize in 1996 and was Australian of the Year in 1997. Professor David de Cresta is a reproductive endocrinologist, but also was the 28th Governor of Victoria from 2006 to 2011. Sir Gustav Nossal, Director of the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute of Medical Research until 1996, and Australian of the Year in the year 2000. Dr. Fiona Stanley, the founding director of the Telethon Institute for Child Health Research, established in Perth in 1990, and in 2003 she was Australian of the Year for her work on child health. And we'll hear more from Fiona Stanley in a few more minutes. Perhaps the most well-known is a Dr. Norman Swan, who's qualified as a paediatrician, but best known, of course, for his ABC radio and television presentations. Locally, there's Professor Michael Kidd, who's Executive Dean of the Faculty of Health Sciences at Flinders University. And there's a long list of other professors. So for me, this established the credibility of this organisation. So the approach I'm going to take this morning, I could dwell on all the negative impacts of climate change on human health, and I will, but I'll try and make that short. But I want to look more at the positive benefits for our health if we make the transition from our dependence on fossil fuels to renewable energy. And that, of course, will contribute also to addressing the problems of global warming. So the negatives are based on scientific published articles in journals like The Lancet, the British Medical Journal, the Medical Journal of Australia. The Lancet in 2009 described climate change as the biggest global health threat of the 21st century. Climate change will bring to Australia, and already is, an increased burden of heat stroke, injury from fire and storm, infectious diseases, social disruption, and mental illness. And in the developing world, it will bring famine and water shortages, which of course are linked. Doctors for the Environment produced a report earlier this year called No Time for Games: Children's Health and Climate Change, and Fiona Stanley in the preface to that report wrote the following: "It's our children in relation to climate change, who, despite being the least responsible for causing it, unfairly bear the brunt of its impacts. She then went on to say, "The impacts of inadequate action for our children verge on the apocalyptic and are too scary to contemplate." Almost biblical words there. There's lots of calls for action on climate change. From my perspective, the Royal Australasian College of Physicians and the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, two organisations of which I'm a member, have been advocating for action on climate change. In addition, the Australian Medical Association, the President just this year, described our inaction on climate change as intergenerational theft of the worst kind, robbing our children of their future. So these are, you know, quite well-respected people making statements like that. And just as I was preparing for this message this morning, in the very prestigious journal Nature, on the 17th of September, it had published an article calculating that globally there are about 3.3 million premature deaths each year from outdoor air pollution. Now, not all of that is due to fossil fuel burning, but a significant proportion is. Most of those deaths are in China and India, but over 50,000 deaths, premature deaths in the United States, and probably, no one really knows, about 2,500 to 5,000 in Australia. And these are potentially avoidable deaths. So let's come back to our theme text. No more shall there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. So Fiona Stanley, just after she wrote the sentence about the apocalyptic and scary, but she goes on to say, "Conversely, choosing now to limit further climate change offers a major opportunity to immediately improve the health of our children via reductions in air pollution and designing low-carbon cities." And there's a lot of work being done on what a low-carbon economy might look like. So from the British Medical Journal in 2012, if we reduce these tiny small particles that get inside our lungs and cause disease, we'll avoid a lot of those premature deaths I've just mentioned. If we can reduce indoor air pollution, and this is particularly in developing countries where they burn wood and coal inside their houses, we'll reduce a lot of chronic respiratory disease. Our better designed homes will reduce thermal stress, improve our quality of life, the increased ventilation will help for people with asthma, and will also protect us from disease-carrying mosquitoes, which are predicted to spread if climate change continues. If we improve public transport, promote walking and cycling, and less polluting vehicles, we'll all have better respiratory and cardiovascular health, and it'll also make a significant contribution to Australia's very serious obesity epidemic. If we reduce our dietary fat intake, so a little less meat, there again are significant cardiovascular health benefits. Now, I know some people will say that these measures will have a huge negative impact on our economy. They might destroy jobs, and that we should really be using coal because it's a cheaper fuel. So I'm a doctor, not an economist, but I've read some very good articles demonstrating that coal is actually not cheaper than renewable energy if you include what are called the externalities, the health and environmental costs of coal. It actually turns out that renewable energies are very competitive, if not cheaper. In 2001, the United States Environmental Protection Agency reviewed the Clean Air Act and calculated that if you invest $1 in cleaner air, it would give about $30 worth of health benefits. So, you know, even aside from the climate change, if you take a health-based approach, there's a call for action. Now, I expect over the last few Sundays you've heard some different stories, and you've got, many of you are probably already taking some actions. One action that I'd like you to consider is divestment. There's a lot of organisations and individuals that are divesting from any shareholdings they have in fossil fuel companies. From the My Medical perspective, the British Medical Association and just recently the Royal Australasian College of Physicians chose to sell any holdings they had in those companies and reinvest them in other areas. There's an increasing number of Australian and international universities as well. So it's a growing social movement. I think the economic impact is perhaps uncertain at the moment, but certainly it's having a significant social and a moral impact. So we could consider divesting from any personal shareholdings we have in companies that are actively involved in fossil fuel industry. We could consider, if our banks are supporting these industries, consider switching banks. And you might just want to check your superannuation fund as well, because if they're holding significant assets in fossil fuels, there's this suggestion that these could become stranded assets in the near future and not perhaps worth as much money as they were. So I'm coming to a close now, and I'll repeat two of the readings for this Sunday. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." And then finally from Romans 8, verses 38-39, now if you listen carefully, you'll hear that I've added in three words to this passage, but I'm sure Paul won't mind, but hopefully it'll help us keep this morning's presentation in perspective. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor climate change, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank you.